The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight, you will find in the latter part of verse number 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 26. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Now, our text tonight is really the autobiography of the life of King Saul. Yes, we can say that these words are really a fitting epitaph for the end of this man's life here on earth. Saul was the first king of Israel, and he was a man that started out with great privilege, and he was a man that started out with great promise. But sadly, during his life and during his reign, things went wrong. Due to weakness and pride and impatience and rashness, he disobeyed the word of God. He disobeyed the will of God for his own personal life. And his disobedience to God, it really led, if you like, to a moral free fall in his own life. And the outworking of this in his life was trouble and sin. And indeed, the loss of his crown to David. And eventually the tragic loss of his own life. Now, whenever we come to 1 Samuel chapter 26, the time is whenever Saul himself was hunting David like a partridge on the mountains. He was out to take away the life of David. And the chapter tells us of a deep sleep coming upon Saul and his men as they were seeking to hunt David. And I believe this sleep was of God. And an opportunity was given now to David to go into the camp and to slay King Saul. But you will see from the chapter that David refrains from this sin. He knew that he dare not touch the Lord's anointed. Notice how he makes reference to that twice over in the chapter. In verse 9 and verse 11 of the chapter, it says in verse 9, "And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" And then in verse 11 again, David says, "The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed." And whenever Saul awakens from the sleep, he realizes that David in mercy has spared his life on this occasion. And it is indeed with the solemn realization of David sparing his life, the very man whose life he himself was hunting, that then Saul makes this statement in verse 21 of this chapter. And he says to David, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." And with these words here before us, you'll see how Saul acknowledges his sinful folly. He says, "I have sinned." He says, "I have played the fool." But even this in itself does not prevent his ruin at a later stage in his life. Oh, how sad is the record concerning King Saul. Now tonight it is this confession of Saul at the end here at verse 21 that I want us to consider in particular. When he says there, "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." You see, this confession here of King Saul and his folly, it really reminds you and I tonight of the folly of all, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found, who reject the gospel, who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, and perish in their sin. Yes, we can say tonight that this confession here of King Saul is really a warning to all in our meeting tonight, to all who are listening in tonight to this meeting, all who are still not saved, still out of Christ,
Friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, whoever you are, whatever your background is, oh, heed the warning here from the lips of Saul, King Saul of a bygone day, when he said, "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Dear friend, here you have a solemn warning from the Word of God. Young person, older person, man or woman, boy or girl in the meeting tonight, not saved. Oh, that you would heed this warning from this confession of King Saul. As we would look tonight at this confession of Saul and his folly, there are four things I want just you to note, I want to set before you. You'll notice first of all here with me that Saul, he played the fool because he rejected God's commandments. He played the fool because he rejected God's commandments. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, God commanded Saul on that occasion to utterly destroy the Amalekite nation. The Amalekites were the age-old enemies of Israel and God's people. And God's command to Saul at that time was to destroy the Amalekites, to wipe them out. But Saul, he failed in this command. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 9, it says, "And Saul and the people spared Agag," that was the king of Amalek, "and the best of the sheep, oxen, fatling, and lambs, that would not utterly destroy them." And in this, he disobeyed the Lord's command for his life at that time. Indeed, his disobedience there to God's command was sin. Because that's what sin is. It's the disobeying of God's word, God's will. The Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And dear people in our meeting tonight, can I say, it's the same with each one of us. God has given to us His commandments in the Bible. You have them summed up in the moral law, the Ten Commandments of Scripture, and they are given for our good, for our well-being in society and in our life day by day. The Bible tells us that His commandments are not grievous. They're for our good. They're for our blessing. Yet despite His law being for our good, we all have broken the law of God. We all have broken the commandments of God in one way or another, in thought, in word, and in deed. You see, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And by this breaking of God's law by us, it is sin. By someone has once rightly said that sin has scarred the whole of the universe. And in other words, it has affected all mankind. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. My sin is a sad reality that affects all our lives, that affects all of society, that affects all the world over. And my, it comes really through an old sinful nature that you and I have inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve, that we've been born into this world with. David could say, "Behold, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity." The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And there Paul speaks of that old sinful nature within us that wars against God, the Word of God, the will of God, and that leads us to break the very commandments of God that are for our good and for our blessing. Friend, tonight in the meeting, realize this, that the end of sin is ruin. That's the outworking of sin. The end of sin is ruin in this life. And separation from God, not only in this life, but after this life, and the great eternity that is to come. The end of sin is a lost eternity in hell itself. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And the Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." Listen tonight to the words of Christ as He speaks in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There He's speaking of the end of sin for the sinner, when they die in their sin and go out into a lost eternity. He says, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." There Christ warns of the folly of our sin.
the awful end of our sin, how it leads to eternal ruin, damnation. Hell itself, the lake of fire, the Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Yes, the sin of breaking God's commands, it caused folly, it caused ruin in the life of King Saul. My dear friend, tonight, realize this, unless you are saved from your sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in His finished work and the cross of Calvary, then your sin and the sin of breaking God's law and God's commands, yes, will also cause ruin and folly in your life personally, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Indeed, it has been rightly said that sin is the womb of our sorrows and the grave of our comforts. There's no peace, God says in His word, to the wicked. Sin robs men and women, young people, of peace. Sin is a war against God. It's the breaking of God's law and commandments. And sin ruins lives. And sin damns souls in eternity. Yes, Saul, he played the fool, because he rejected God's command. And friend, tonight, unsaved, you do the same. When you reject and break God's commands and His holy law, you play the fool. Yes, Saul, he played the fool because he rejected God's command. But we say, secondly, tonight, that Saul, he played the fool because he rejected the counsel of God's servant. He rejected the counsel of God's servant. You see, in Saul's day, Samuel was the prophet. Samuel was God's messenger to the people. And in rejecting Samuel's counsel, what was Saul doing? He was rejecting God's counsel. He was rejecting God's word to him. You turn with me in your Bible back to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you'll see here how Samuel, he speaks to Saul about this very matter. He makes it clear and plain to him. When Saul had rejected the message of the prophet Samuel, he was rejecting God's counsel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and the verse number 19. Here's Samuel speaking to King Saul. And he says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" He's speaking there of the fact that he had gathered the spoil from the Amalekites. Look at verse 22, verse 23 of the chapter. "And Samuel said, Have the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He also have rejected thee from being king." Look at verse 26. "Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel." In other words, Samuel, God's servant, had nothing more now to say to King Saul. My, in rejecting the message of Samuel the prophet, Saul was rejecting God Himself and the message of God. Yes, his rejection of the counsel of God's prophet, and we're told there that it equated with witchcraft and with idolatry. By the rejection there of God's counsel, it caused him to be rejected by God as king in Israel. And this in turn led to his death, his tragic death on the battlefield. Indeed, it was in the light of all this that Saul speaks in our text. He says, "I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly." He rejected the counsel of God's servant, and in doing so, he was rejecting the counsel of God to his soul. Likewise, dear unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, please realize this. You too play the fool. You too, yes, you err exceedingly every time you reject the gospel message.
Every time you reject the message of God's servants that calls you personally to repent of your sin, to get right with God, and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, it is to play the fool. It is to err exceedingly before Almighty God. Oh, can I say tonight to reject the preacher's message that calls you to repent of your sin, that calls you to Christ for salvation? It's great folly. And the longer you reject the gospel, the harder it is for you to be saved. You see, that's why the Bible says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Yes, the more you reject the gospel, the harder your heart will become, and the more difficult it will be for you to get saved and to get right with God. And my, the devil will come, and he'll put up every roadblock, every obstacle before you to keep you back from Christ and getting saved and getting right with God. I remember many years ago, a gospel mission, I think it's maybe 20 years ago now, remember a man that came out to those meetings that was a three-week mission, very, very regular to the gospel meetings. And it was very evident in the meetings he was under deep concern and conviction of sin and concern of soul. Yet the mission passed. He did not get saved. He did not get right with God. And to the very best of my knowledge, that man is still unsaved. Still out of Christ, without hope. Without God's so great salvation. Friend, I would say to you tonight in the meeting, whoever you are unsaved, do not make the same mistake. The Bible says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Seek Christ now, tonight. While you've got health and strength and vitality and the gift of all your faculties, lest it is becomes too late. God says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Oh, don't be like this man, King Saul, who turned away from the messenger of God. Yes, Saul played the fool because he turned away from God's command. He turned away from the messenger of God. But something else here we want to note, and it is this, that Saul, he played the fool because he chose, deliberately chose the company of the ungodly. Yes, Saul was a man who forsook the godly company of Samuel, of David, and of Jonathan, and in doing so, he chose the company of the ungodly. Who were his company? Who were his confidants? One of those was Abner. What does the Bible say about Abner, the captain of Saul's guard? It says this, died Abner as a fool dieth. He was a fool on the sight of God. Another one of Saul's chief servants was a man by the name of Doeg, the Edomite. One who was an age-old enemy of God and Israel, yet he was one of David's chief, one of Saul's chief servants. And Saul, he confided in him. He was directed by him. He was led by him. And Doeg was a most evil and ungodly man in the company of King Saul. And then the chapter also tells us, or the book also tells us, how he chose the company of the witch of Endor. He turned to the powers of darkness. You turn the page from our Bible reading tonight, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 28 and the verse number 7. And look at what you read here about King Saul. It's nearing the end of his life. And it says, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. This was a witch of Endor, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. He chose the company of this witch, of this most ungodly and wicked woman. When the odds were stacked against him, he turned to this satanic woman for so-called help and guidance. It has been said on this occasion, here was this man, King Saul, and he was literally knocking on the very door of hell itself for so-called help.
and so-called guidance. This is how far this man had departed from the ways of God and the counsel of God and the direction of God. Here he is coming now to the witch at Endor for help, so-called help and guidance and direction. And can I say to your people, even on this very point, that it is wrong for us to have anything to do whatsoever with the occult or the works of darkness, be it astrology, stars, fortune-telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, tarot cards, whatever. These are things that we should have nothing to do with whatsoever. They are of the devil. They are satanic. They are of the very works of darkness. They are of the occult. And there's something that you and I should have nothing to do with in any shape or form whatsoever. In the case here of Saul, it's important to note here that all this wrong company, it contributed to his ruin. It led to his downfall. It led really to disaster in his life and soul. And dear friend, unsaved tonight in the meeting, is there not a warning here in this? Wrong company, yes, will lead you away from God. Wrong company will lead you away from the blessing of God and the paths of God. Wrong company will lead to ruin in your heart and life and soul. And my, that has happened so many times in the hearts and lives of both old and young. They've turned away from the counsel of God, His people, His church, His messengers, and they've turned to the world and to the ungodly. And my, the sparrow has been downfall and away from God. Am I speaking to one in the meeting tonight and you're not saved? And it's because of your love of this ungodly world and the company of this world. Friend, the Bible says the friendship of this world is enmity with God. My, if you run with the ungodly, you run against God and the ways of God. The Bible says the pleasures of sin last only for a season. You think of the prodigal son. He took his father's inheritance and he went into the far off land and he lived in pleasure. He lived in sin. He spent his substance in riotous living and ungodly company. But it did not last. It lasted only for a while. And the Bible says he began to be in want. You see, there was no true joy and happiness for him in the company of the world and the company of the unsaved. Oh, friend, be very careful of your company of those who would lead you and guide you and direct you in your life. I say to you tonight, get saved. And God, yes, will give you far greater friends than the friends of this world. Friends of them, God. I've often heard Christians say that when they got saved, they lost the friends of the world, but God gave them friends in Christ, believers in the Lord, who have proved far, far better friends to them in this life. Is it the case also tonight that you're not saved? And it's really because you're afraid of what others think, what others say, that others may laugh at you. The Bible says the fear of man at bring of a snare. Dear friend, ungodly friends, yes, may laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out of hell. No. Yes, over the years I've heard Christians testify of their regret, how they allowed the fear of man to keep them back from being saved and getting right with God. Dear friend, do not make the same mistake. Friends keep you back from being saved and you die in that state. Your friends, whoever they are, can do nothing for you. They can do nothing for your soul when you die in your sin and leave this world and leave this scene of time. The Bible says, sin when it is finished, bring it forth. If you think of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, in the very presence of Christ, he rejected Christ. He asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But because of the fear of man and his desire for the applause and the popularity of ungodly men, he turned away from the Lord. And he went on in his sin without hope and without God. Friend, no matter who your friends are, no matter who your confidants are in life, they can do nothing for you when you die in your sin. Go out into a lost eternity without hope, without God. Don't make the same mistake. is this man King Saul. One final thought here to note about this man and his folly. Saul, yes, he played the fool because he rejected God's anointed. He rejected God's anointed. Out of jealousy, he rejected David, who was God's anointed king, to replace him. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse number 13. You'll see this, the anointing of David. God set David apart to take the throne after Saul. Verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," that's David, "in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Saul rose up and went to Ramah." David was God's anointed, God's chosen king to sit upon the throne. My Saul rejected this. He rejected David as God's anointed, and out of jealousy, he tried to kill David on a number of occasions. You look at what you read there in 1 Samuel 26, verse 20. And Saul says, "Now therefore let not," or David says, "Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel," notice it, "is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge on the mountains." The picture there is of a gamekeeper, someone going out hunting on the mountain, seeking to kill the partridge, seeking to kill and to catch the game. That's really what Saul was intending to do with David. And he tried that on a number of occasions. And Saul, he rejected God's anointed. Likewise, dear friend, tonight I must warn you in this gospel meeting, in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, yes, you're guilty of the same folly as King Saul. For why do I say it? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is God's anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's appointed Savior, His only Savior, the only remedy for sinners, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You think of what the angel said to Joseph about Christ coming into this world. He says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Christ came to save sinners. Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." The Bible says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." He was anointed, appointed by God to be our Savior, the only Savior of sinners, the only one that can deliver you and I from the awful ruin of our sins. You turn within your Bible over to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. And look at what you read there about Christ in verse number 31. Here's Peter preaching about Christ. I want you to see what he says here about Christ in Acts 5 verse 31. He says, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." That's the whole ministry of Christ. To deliver sinners like you and me from our sins. So that we can know our sins forgiven. That we can be right with God. Have peace with God. Be sure of heaven. Be delivered from a lost eternity in hell itself. But dear friend, that is why Christ came. That's why He came into this world. The sinless Son of God. He went to the cross. Yes, men took Him. They crucified Him. But it was in the plan and the purpose of the counsel of God in eternity past that a Savior should come. He should shed His blood and die upon the cross, rise again from the dead the third day, and purchase salvation. And I tell you, it's a glorious salvation, an eternal salvation, not only for time, but for all of eternity. The Bible speaks to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." Friend, this is the bridge to God. This is the bridge to heaven. This is the way to glory, the way to peace with God, and knowing God as your loving Heavenly Father through Christ the Lamb of God, who says, "I am the door. who says, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. As we close our meeting tonight, we present to you Christ, the only refuge for your soul, the only hope for eternity, the only way to have peace with God and know your sins forgiven. And I tell you this, to reject Christ, to turn away from Christ and refuse Him as your Savior, it's peril. It's the deepest of follies. There is no hope for you if you turn away from Christ and you die in your sin. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The hymn writer says, out of Christ without a Savior, dark will the voyage be, clouds will gather, storms surround thee. O to Christ for refuge. The record of this man, King Saul, is in the Scriptures for a purpose. Friend, the purpose is that you might be warned, that you might not turn away from the Lord and His Word and His Gospel, that you would accept Christ even tonight as your own and personal Savior. Have your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of Christ? A preacher can't save you, a church can't save you. Praise God, Christ can. The Bible says He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Don't go away tonight without the Lord, but trust Him and own Him by faith as your own and personal Savior. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together 236, 236 on the page 271. Out of Christ without a Savior, well, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? We're going to sing the first verse, the third verse, and the last verse. Verses 1, 3, and 5, along with the chorus, standing as we sing and thinking of the words. Oh, if you're not saved, and heed the words of this hymn. As it says there, give to Christ now your heart and trust Him as your Savior. 236, verses 1, 3, and 5, along with the chorus, standing as we sing. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence and for help in the meeting tonight. Bless Thy word, apply it to every heart in the meeting, And to every heart that has listened in online, Lord, help us as your people to live for thee, to honor thee, to walk in thy ways, to be a faithful witness, Lord, for thee. But Lord, for any in the meeting, any listening, not saved, speak to them, especially tonight, while the voice of man is silent. Oh, that tonight, Lord, they will come and trust the Lord to be their own and personal Savior. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. Can I say, if there's one here tonight and there's concern in your heart and your soul for your need of salvation, I urge you tonight to call upon the Lord. Seek him, trust him. If I can be of any help to you in the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. Be glad to open up the scriptures with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able.